Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th. And it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hi, this is Glenn Wexler, and you're listening to Pantheon Podcast.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, so this is episode 214. I'm calling this band Smoke on the Water. I did a little research, and I was kind of looking through, you know, there may be a future episodes, maybe not. I'll let the cat out of the bag. We'll see. Maybe you guys can let me know on the Facebook page. I was going to do maybe this band's Bohemian Rhapsody or this band's Stairway to Heaven. And I got a good little tidy list going for those. But I thought this one was, opened up a can of worms about some other things I wanted to talk about. Around riffs versus chords, things like that, why a song's going to qualify here. I'm going to break it up into categories as well. So the characteristics for this, and, you know, I'll say this as well. I was also trying to do kind of like a deeper episode where, I was thinking of trying to figure out this band's, and then it's a Zeppelin song, right? And I went through all the Zeppelin songs, and I was trying to line up songs with all of kind of the Zeppelin catalog, and I got a little bit going there. That one might be the most interesting out of all of them, if I can make it work. But anyways, so yeah. So this one, I got some good, clear examples that I wanted to talk about here, and it opened up some sort of concept. So the idea of a song being this band's Smoke on the Water. Well, what do I mean by that? So number one, characteristics. This is like, generally speaking, the big dumb riff song of these bands. So this is almost like analogous or a parallel to, my sort of definition of heavy metal that I talk about. That's a whole nother one, right? I mean, we've talked about how, on a base level, the definition of heavy metal might be music with a preponderance of the use of a distortion pedal. And that starts taking care of it pretty good. But then this idea of riffs versus chords, and obviously all that instrumentation stuff as well. But the idea here is that, one thing I like about a definition or a part of a definition of heavy metal, one subsection of it, is this idea, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, but how it's a music where everybody crowds around that oil drum on a cold, biting, windy, wintry day in Philadelphia, and there's a fire going in the oil drum, and you're all warming your hands off of the fire there. So the idea of a heavy metal song, or the idea of the definition of heavy metal, or one definition, is this idea of it's all about the riff. Everybody's crowding about the riff. Everybody's kind of feeding the life force of the riff, sort of thing. So that's one part of it. The other reason to call something this band Smoke on the Water is, generally speaking, these are bands where they kind of have the one hit that stands up above every other song, sort of thing. Or not every other song, but these aren't bands with, like, when you say the band name, 10 different people think of 10 different songs sort of thing. So it's a little bit like that as well. So they're big famous songs. They're generally kind of slower songs as well. But yeah, the main point is they've got a big riff, and it might even be, like Smoke on the Water, a riff that's kind of easy to play, right? And maybe a riff that hits you between the eyes. It's got some spaces to it. It's got, you know, it's not too incredibly widdly, although again, spoiler alert, my fifth example is we're going to allow tricky riffs into this. But yeah, so the idea is that, you know, it's so enjoyable, the riff, and so accessible that even, you know, non-metal people might get into it and, you know, perhaps push the song to the top, kind of like a Smoke on the Water. So that's the kind of thing. So again, it can't be particularly chordal. So I thought of a lot of bands that don't even have one of these, right? So that was kind of cool as well. But, you know, you think of Cheap Trick, their biggest song is Surrender. Very chordal. You think of AC/DC with You Shook Me All Night Long. Very chordal. You got another thing coming, very chordal. So these aren't songs with big, huge riffs. And AC/DC is a perfect example why, you know, that's a band I really couldn't find one of these that feels like, you know, they have their Smoke on the Water sort of thing. Because you know, the riffs are not particularly riffy most of the time with AC/DC. So yeah, let's get into it. I mean, some of this music is, it's like, oh, why am I playing this song? It's like, you don't really need it in your life. But anyways, we'll discuss, and it's broken up into categories. Take a listen to this first song. This is someone you might know called Black Sabbath with Iron Man. Okay, so why did I pick this? Because, you know, it's sort of a tradition here at History in Five Songs that often my first choice, I want to play the most obvious one. So this is the one, you know, even though this comes before Smoke on the Water. Smoke on the Water is 1972. This is from Paranoid, September 18th, 1970, 4x platinum, Black Sabbath's biggest album. But the idea here is it's a big, huge, famous song. It's slow. It's obvious. It's all about the riff. And, you know, I said these things can't be chordal, but, you know, essentially one of the interesting things about some of these things, in Smoke on the Water included, is that they're almost moving towards chordal, in that they're filling that space between riff and chordal. Riff I usually think of as whittly, you know, and often when you get to the more tricky riffs, they're literally single string or sometimes two string ideas. But yeah, if a riff gets too simple, that allows the guitars to use chords to be playing these riffs, right? And then as it gets more complicated, of course, they're just moving their fingers along single strings kind of thing, right? So this is a big obvious one. This is the song that everybody says is Black Sabbath, Smoke on the Water. It's even, the chord is even, of course, or the chords or the riff, is enhanced by the fact that you know, Ozzy gets a lot of stick for just following along with the chords as the melody, and this is one when people want to put down Ozzy and say, oh, Ozzy come up with great vocal melodies. Of course he does all the time, but just on this one, it's the most that way. So other ones in this realm of most obvious, so I'm kind of like basically telling you the best ones of this whole episode here kind of thing. Mountain, Mississippi Queen. Again, this is literally, you could call them a one-hit wonder. But that's, you know, that's again, in this space between riff and chords. And essentially, again, we're back to that definition of heavy metal where you can just see, you know, everybody's clumping around this amazing, massive Leslie West guitar pattern. And one thing I want to add about this as well, a beautiful, beautiful, super heavy molten sound on his guitar here as well. Okay, so another crazy obvious one. It's almost even closer to the Iron Man one example is Rainbow with Man on the Silver Mountain. That one literally kind of has the not fully octave jumping-ness that some riffs have, like say something like an AC/DC Back in Black, which I almost kind of put in here. Smoke on the Water doesn't quite have it. This doesn't quite have it, but the notes show some, or you know, the notes, the chords show some big separation and there's spaces between them. But this literally sounds like Richie was trying to give Rainbow their Smoke on the Water. So I feel that about it. Another one that absolutely fits in here, and it's closer to their Iron Maiden, I suppose, is Blue Oyster Cult with Godzilla. They don't have a lot of songs like Godzilla. Godzilla totally fits here because it's all about that great riff. Everything's clumping around it. You hear Albert, he's kind of playing to the riff. You know, the lyrics matter, the vocal matters as well on this. But yeah, basically that song is super famous for that big riff. People forget that it's got kind of mellow, kind of rock and rollsy parts to it too. Another one that I think fits this is Nazareth with Hair of the Dog. I feel like that is absolutely their iconic song from their most iconic album, best-selling album, Gold in America. More iconic as a song than Love Hurts, I imagine. But yeah, that song is all about the riff. Ted Nugent has one of these too. And it isn't Stranglehold or Stormtrooping or any of those. It's Cat Scratch Fever. I really feel like that big dumb riff, that kind of yangy musical riff, I don't like it. It falls away. It goes into a kind of a boogie pattern for the verse. But the Cat Scratch Fever riff is absolutely iconic, and you would have to say it's his most famous song. And another one that totally fits in here, again, more their Iron Man, more their Blue Oyster Cult Godzilla, is Bachman Turner Overdrive with Sledgehammer. They don't have a lot of songs like that. They have some. Welcome Home is a little bit like that. But yeah, you would never put Taking Care of Business in here, or You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, or many of their other big hits. Blue Collar, of course, which is mellow. But Sledgehammer totally feels like that. It's all about this big dumb riff. All right, let's play our second selection and we shall discuss. This is The Stooges with I Want to Be Your Dog. Okay, so again, I think this is probably the Stooges' most famous song. This is August 5th, 1969. Our theme here is the oldest one, so we're kind of going back in time for these ones. And I feel they exist. They're some of the most iconic riffs, and they are attached to big hit singles. With the Stooges, there are other riffy things on this album, but they're not very famous. There are not very many riffy things on Funhouse, and nothing from that is famous. And then you get to Raw Power, and it's got some famous songs, but they're not particularly riffy. I don't consider Search and Destroy a particularly riffy song. It's more of a chord pattern song, and same thing with Raw Power. So I really feel this is the one that matters the most. Also on this theme of oldest, we've got the likes of, one of the most iconic early riffs of all time because it uses fuzz pedal. You've got Rolling Stone's Satisfaction. Cream, Sunshine of Your Love is probably their most, riffiest song. And it is also slow and lumbering. So it feels like a predecessor to your Smoke on the Waters and your Godzillas and your Iron Mans. I didn't feel really Jimmy has anything that fits here. Jimi Hendrix, MC5 Kick Out the Jams kind of fits. It's riffy and it is their most famous song. So is it their Smoke on the Water? I mean, like I say, in many ways it kind of is. It's their big hit. It's heavy. It's catchy. It's riffy. And Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love. So Led Zeppelin's a funny one where, spoiler alert, I've got an example a little later that we're going to put in the complicated category. But basically, Whole Lot of Love just feels like the way it exists in the song at the beginning, just on its own. It really makes you think about that riff. Again, we're going way before Smoke on the Water and before Iron Man. So this is almost like the predecessor. I could have called all these other songs Their Whole Lot of Love, because I think this is really the first song, because there's really nothing on the first album that feels this way, that you go, wow, what an incredible riff. And this is all about the riff. This song is, everybody's clumping around the riff. It's the most important part of the song. I don't think you feel that way about anything on Led Zeppelin 1, and not particularly much else on this record, although there's some good rockers on it, right? So yeah, Whole Lot of Love, I think, is possibly, we're moving into the realm of, can we call it maybe the first modern heavy metal riff? Maybe, 1969. So it's kind of possible. It's just kind of more well appointed than anything you get from any of those other bands, your Blue Cheers, or even, you know, Beatles Helter Skelter or Jimi Hendrix. It really has that, for before 1970, it really seems to have the most heavy metalness to it, even though we know it's a blues tune on steroids kind of thing. All right, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, back again here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff. We are talking about this band's Smoke on the Water, episode 214. So these are songs that that feel like they are this band's big dumb riff song and their famous song because of it. So take a listen to this. This is Accept with Balls to the Wall. Okay, so December 5th, 1983, this album actually went gold in the States. That was good to see. But the funny thing about this riff that everybody remembers as the Balls to the Wall riff, it kind of introduces the song and then it goes away and doesn't come back. It goes into other cool ideas. It's all simple. It's all slow and sluggish. This song, though, for whatever reason, like I say, well, it is because, you know, soon as you say the song, everybody's, that riff goes through your mind. But that riff kind of starts off the song, and as soon as he starts singing, it's gone. It's moved on to something else. So that's kind of interesting. But it is definitely their Smoke on the Water. It's their biggest song. It's their biggest anthem. Smoke on the Water, again, that's another thing you could say. It's maybe their biggest anthem as well. You think of the big chorus on it, right? I've never been a huge fan of Smoke on the Water. That's the funny thing. Because I don't like when they go into the verse. It just kind of gets all watery and psychedelic, and I don't like the vocal melody. It's kind of a build-up to the chorus, which is good. So what they're doing is that holding back idea, not being super interesting for the verse. It's got a good chorus, and then it's got that great riff comes back again that people associate with the song. So the theme here is kind of the less obvious ones, maybe mixed in with a little bit of non-metal. Aerosmith, Walk This Way. I think that is their Smoke on the Water, because that is the greatest riff that those guys ever did or ever will do. It's just so insanely catchy and amazing. You just can't deny it. Like Smoke on the Water, it's known for the riff, and that's what you're going to remember it for. April Wine, I Like to Rock. Again, I picked this one because it reminds me a little bit of the Smoke of the on the Water riff. Max Webster Hangover. So Max Webster is a cool band from Canada, and they've got a lot of songs that are chordal and keyboardy and poppy and proggy. This is not a band you associate with riffs particularly, but Hangover is a good one for that. It's a super famous song. It's from their first album. They're always going to play it live. It's heavy, but it's got a really, really cool riff on it. So yeah, that's kind of uncharacteristic for them. Thin Lizzy Jailbreak, I think, is Thin Lizzy Smoke on the Water. Not Boys Are Back in Town, and I don't think they have any other songs that are famous enough. And when you listen to this riff, it just feels, it's got that little bit of a marauding secret agent man feel to it that you get from Smoke on the Water as well. So yeah, it is a combination, like I said, between a riff and sort of stacked cool chords. But I think you hear those chords and you think these guys are badasses, right? It's like the Smoke on the Water riff for that reason. Cheech and Chong, Earache My Eye. That's a great riff, right? That's a cross between your Smoke on the Water and your Iron Man almost. Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. I kind of picked this because this is a band that is not known to ever have riffs, and this turns out to be their most famous song, and it is a riff that plays a cappella, if you can assign that to the idea of guitar. But it is played that way for a little bit, so you definitely notice it. Free All Right Now. This is a one-hit wonder band, kinda. Mr. Big's kinda known, a couple other things, but basically All Right Now is their biggest song, and it's more stacked pancakes of chords, obviously. But I just feel it's totally their Smoke on the Water as a package. Heart Barracuda was kind of a funny choice. This is a band that doesn't do heavy stuff all that often. It is a riff. It is a really cool riff. It's got the gallop thing to it. So, but irrespective of how much we think about riff, it is their Smoke on the Water. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama. So as I was building the this band's Stairway to Heaven episode, obviously Freebird was going to go in there. But then I got to thinking, their biggest song by far, I mean, these are their two biggest songs, but their biggest song by far is also known for that elegant opening riff. It's not heavy metal, but, it kicks off the song. And you can't forget it. Queen was a funny one. Queen, I don't think, has any of these in particular. But if you wanted to pick kind of a non-obvious choice, I would go with Hammer to Fall from late in the career. So here you also get, Brian May on his own doing this thing. It's more of kind of a chord pattern. It's not particularly a riff. But, if you were, see, it's hard to pick a big dumb Queen song because there aren't too many. There's small dumb Queen songs, and there's really complicated, super cool Men's a Mad Genius Queen songs, but there's not too many big dumb Queen songs, and I think Hammer to Fall is a good big dumb Queen song, so that's why it fits with the smoke on the Water thing. Prague, I tried to look at Prague, and I thought, okay, well, it's, at least we need a guitar with a distortion pedal on it, so I thought, yes, Owner of a Lonely Heart may even be their most famous song, sadly enough, even though it's from like a whole later era of the band. But in a sense, again, you get that crazy little sampled keyboard thing, but then you get Alone, like Hammer to Fall, like the Dire Straits riff, you get essentially free birding massive molten electric guitar. I mean, it doesn't really last, but you think of that riff, so I don't know. You guys let me know what you think on the Facebook. Is Owner of a Lonely Heart yes is Smoke on the Water? And then I thought Sammy Hagar's kind of got one of these. Heavy metal, big famous song for him, and it just feels like a big lumbering song. Again, it's a little closer to an Iron Man or a Godzilla, but I think it's kind of his. He doesn't have too many particularly riffy songs. He's got some heavy stuff, some poppy stuff, some middle of the road stuff, AORI stuff, but not too many are riffy or lumbering, and this is a good lumbering one that way. All right, let's move on to our fourth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Metallica with Enter Sandman.
Till
Okay, so this is another interesting one that the riff you kind of associate with this one, the riff doesn't. They have a lot of cool parts in this. It's a short song. It's a lumbering slow song. In many ways, it's pretty much their most famous song, I would say. I think this is their Smoke on the Water, because it's right between the eyes. It's obvious. It's mid-paced. It's all about that big riff. It's not one of their crazy songs that's 9 minutes long with, a dozen riffs in it. Everything's kind of related to it. It's just a well-written song. So I don't think you could have really put anything else in here, because this is a song, like I say, where it's got the iconic riff, and then it does reoccur, and everything else they do kind of is almost a variation on that riff. It isn't one of their proggiest songs, put it that way. So the theme here is kind of heavier metal. One thing I wanted to mention I thought was kind of interesting. I was daydreaming about this, and maybe there's an episode in here at some point. But so the Metallica album comes out August 12th, 1991. Eventually goes 16 times platinum, massive album. Just 2 weeks later, August 27th, Pearl Jam puts out 10, massive album, diamond album, I believe, as well. And then 3 weeks later, Guns N' Roses puts out 2 super long albums, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, September 17th, 91. And then 1 week later, same label, Geffen, Nirvana puts out Nevermind, September 24th, 91. So, man, talk about a huge pile of massive, massive albums put out within a 6 week period. I'm sure there are some more. Maybe that is a cool episode, eh? Let's see if we can find some more records that were put out in August and September of 1991. Wow, that's a huge boost for the industry right there, isn't it? Okay, so also in this department, in heavy ones, I thought Megadeth had one of these, and it's called Symphony of Destruction. Megadeth can be kind of proggy, they can be kind of complicated, but when you hear this riff, it's so irresistible, just like Smoke on the Water. It's just so catchy and cool, and it cruises along, and you've got that Dave Ellefson, Roger Glover Teenage Eighth Notes bass line, and you've got spaces between what they're doing on that that riff. So yeah, that's a really cool one. I'm kind of squeezing Motorhead in here as well with Ace of Spades, simply because it's their Smoke on the Water, because it's such a massive song. They're kind of, unfortunately, a one-hit wonder. I hate to say it. This song at least has a fairly memorable riff that you remember, but it's not all about that riff, this song. It's more about just the blurry speed of it and Lemmy's voice and all that kind of stuff. It's their Smoke on the Water, of course. And then I thought one more that was kind of interesting, Pantera Walk. What do you guys think of that? I feel like, there's a lot of Pantera songs that are about the riff, but sometimes they're more complicated and they can be a little bit atmospheric and strange. And I think Walk is, again, like Smoke on the Water, it hits you between the eyes sort of thing. You can't forget it. It's a stomping thing. It's Godzilla. It's stomping like Godzilla. It's stomping like the Iron Man himself. So I think that's kind of cool in there as well. All right, let's move on to our fifth one here. Take a listen to this. Boy, these are a lot of songs you didn't really need to hear. Maybe I should have picked trickier ones for this, but anyways, UFO Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom. So the theme here is me cheating in more complicated riffs, and thinking, what is the band Smoke on the Water? Let's still keep it about riff, but it's now more about what is their big anthem, their most famous song. So I figured Rock Bottom sort of fits in here. Doctor does not fit in here. So this comes out on Phenomenon, May 1974. Budgie Bread Fan, I think, fits in here as well. That is all about the riff. And again, I'm noticing a trend here. A lot of these songs, UFO Rock Bottom included, you do get to hear the riff on its own with nothing else going on, and that makes you focus on the riff. And like I say, that's a big characteristic of heavy metal in general. You get that with Bread Fan as well, and it is probably their most famous song. I told you I had Led Zeppelin for you again. Again, the theme is complicated riff. Black Dog. So Black Dog is kind of Led Zeppelin's other Smoke on the Water, I imagine. Simply because it is a song that everybody marvels at, that incredibly, long, complicated riff that just keeps on going. And John Bonham sounds like he's playing fast, but he's actually playing slow. So that's really cool as well. It's got the stop-start thing to it. So I thought that was kind of a neat one for here. And then, to keep it in the Purple family, Whitesnake, Still of the Night. This is, I guess, Whitesnake's Smoke on the Water. It is their most famous song, and their other famous songs are ballads, so that it doesn't really apply at all. And that, of course, got me thinking of the greatest riffs of all time. Because I always call that the greatest riff of all time. And when I think of that, I usually think of Metal Church as well. So that song, I think, to me, feels like there's smoke on the water just because it's such an incredible riff. Go check that out. The title track from the, that first album. Really, really cool riff on that. And like I say, I thought there were bands that basically don't have any of these. I looked at AC/DC. I looked at ZZ Top. I looked at Priest. Ozzy Osbourne, I feel. It's almost a testimony to the band, I realize. When I was thinking about Ozzy Osbourne, I thought, he's too good to have one of these. Because I feel like when you listen to an Ozzy Osbourne song, you're hearing the complexity of Randy or Jake or whatever. I mean, there are songs based around riffs, but the riffs are usually a little more complicated, and it is really good songwriting. So it's more about the song. The vocals are high in the mix. There's good vocal melodies. There's a lot of interesting chordal transitions. That's kind of a cool thing about Ozzy. I really didn't feel he had anything big and dumb like Iron Man kind of thing. I don't think Iron Maiden has one of these. And why I don't think Iron Maiden has one is because it's often so much about the twin leads. It's about the vocals. It's a little more up-tempo. They can be a little proggy. It's kind of funny. I don't hear... off the top of my head, I mean, I'm probably wrong about this, but off the top of my head, I'm not hearing too many Iron Man type structures from those guys, right? Or Godzilla type structures. Van Halen, I didn't think had one because Eddie is just too tricky and complicated and chordal and jazzy and noisy and tappy to stick with a riff too long. I might have thought, the songs people think about with Van Halen when they think about riffs are usually something like Mean Street. And then also you think of Running with the Devil, but that's more like just big hanging chords. But I really couldn't come up with anything close to say this is Van Halen's Smoke on the Water. The Who, I don't feel, has anything like this. And then, when you get to other non-metal bands, it's even kind of harder to come up with something like this. So, I was going to mention, I'm kind of running out of time. I didn't think I'd yap this long in this because I had a plan to mention a few of the things from the last episode, which was our I Can't Unhear That. And it's funny, there's a lot of discussion on the Facebook page, but I felt like a lot of it went off topic and it didn't really capture the spirit of what I meant by the phrase I Can't Unhear That. But there were kind of a few interesting things about what was there. That one I don't really believe in very much. Let's see. Or Maiden, having punk influence or not. Typically hate the sound of electronic drums. Steve Polari, William Martin, people were talking about Lou Reed. Get your yayas out. Yeah, this there was a little bit of going down the path of faked live albums or pasted together things. Yes, Close to the Edge has a weird splice editing issue towards the end of the song. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Steve Bello is mentioning this. And I guess I didn't really have a category about this, but when you notice errors in songs, right? Just bald-faced errors. There's a hilarious Thin Lizzy one. I don't know if I mentioned it. I think I did maybe. When you notice an error in the song, it's hard to unhear that error when you discover it. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of fun when you find those sorts of things, right? you know, bad splices or a blown little drum lick. Oh man, those are funny to find as well. So anyways, yeah, go check out the Facebook page. I mean, often it's at the History in Five Songs, or sometimes, you know, there's more comments on my personal one. But yeah, if you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/martinpopoff, hit that red support button, buy me a coffee or a pint. This week I would like to thank Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Rich Hamill, Augustine Garcia, D. Prides, and Steve Polari. Thank you all very much. And yeah, check out the books at martinpopoff.com. I've been doing this thing on Pete's show on Sea of Tranquility, where I'm going through my oldest books in order that happen to still be in print and reminding people of them. Because as you know, when you go to my Facebook page, it's all one big long thing. You got to scroll down to the bottom to see all the books. But yeah, there's out of the 115 or so, I'd say there's probably at least 80 or so that are still in print. So there you go. Come on by the Facebook page. Let me know some other bands that you could point out that this is, in fact, this band's Smoke on the Water.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.